How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I grew up playing wiffle ball in my backyard with my brother. We had epic matchups. I thought I was the greatest pitcher in wiffle ball history. Didn't hit bad either until I went to college and everybody was playing wiffle ball. Our next guest has done a fantastic job with documentaries that are, they're a little comedic, a lot informative, and highly entertaining. Kenny Mayne joining us. How are you, man?
Well, I have an unhittable spitball. You turn your back to the batter and just gather some saliva, and it's a little gross for some people, but when the saliva flies off, the ball drops a yard, almost unhittable. So I try to go fastball up, and then the spitball for the strikeout.
We used to, in college, we drove our neighbors nuts, and I'm embarrassed now because now I'm, as a homeowner, I'm that guy who's shaking my fist at kids in the street, but that we used a neighbor's mailbox as the strike zone, and we played out there for hours, Kenny, and it, you know, but what is it about wiffle ball that captures people and maybe got your attention?
We used a stolen street sign, like a stop sign that was a very large and forgiving plate for pitchers. I didn't steal it. I was complicit potentially, but, well, I mean, it's just so simple. You know, you see wiffle balls on sale at the drugstore and at the grocery store and in sporting goods, and it's still relatively inexpensive compared to most things. You don't need much more than the bat and the ball, maybe a couple backup balls in case they crack or get lost. And you go play. You know, don't need mitts, really. You can catch it with your bare hands, although we use mitts to be more official. It just felt more official. And we kept stats. My friend Mark Sansevier broke Babe Ruth's home run record in one summer, the summer of 1972, and hit 800-something. We later discounted some of them because he used the illegal fat bat on a couple games where my sister wasn't home to take us to Value Mart to get new equipment. It was just it sounds like we had the same childhood in that sense where it was just such an easy thing. And the funniest part is you could do an hour-long podcast with five old friends, everybody explaining the ground rules at their house, you know, based on what was a home run, was this bush fair or foul, you know, on and on and on. We also had a medium pitch rule at one of our fields just because the field was so small. It was big enough to play. You know, you could rob home runs and make plays, but it would have been unfair to throw heat. So it was sort of a gentleman's agreement. The umpire decided if it was too fast, do over. But otherwise, you know, you let it loose. That was what was so fun on the bigger fields is how much that ball moved. You didn't even really have to try to throw a curve. It would just curve on its own because of the air holes, you know.
Kenny Mayne with us. Wiffle Ball, the documentary, the first in a series of documentaries you want to make. You can find it on FUBU and other at some other locations
FUBU.
As well.
FUBU.
Like sorry, FUBU. Sure
that's right.
And other locations as well. But is it true this goes back to 1989, you against Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah, the whole premise of it is it's sort of like taking a day in the life and going back 34, now 35 years to prove my point as to what happened that day, because I've been telling people all these years later, I thought I beat him in a speed pitch contest. It was at the Seattle Pacific Science Center. I was in my maybe second year on TV in Seattle, and somehow I talked Harold Reynolds and Ken Griffey into showing up. Griffey's rookie season, remember, 1989, and they show up, and we did the interviews, which weren't very good, by the way, because I was terrible. And then we threw balls with his speed gun. Turns out it wasn't even a real wiffle ball. We find this out when we recover the tape and find a way to transfer it, which was difficult in itself because, you know, it was shot on what's called beta SP, and not beta versus beta, not Betamax like in the old days when you're running movies, but the broadcast version of it. And it took forever to figure out how to see what's on the tape. I was trying to prove my theory, but we found a guy in Seattle who had a machine. There's a big reveal in the movie as to what's on the tape, what really happened that day. There's a little confusion because at first a horse race shows up for no reason. So I think I have the wrong tape, and I'm so disappointed. But the guy who shot it apparently picked up the footage late and didn't re-rack it. So, you know, it was something that was already on the tape, I guess is what I'm saying. But I found the truth. We also got Ken Burns involved, the famous documentarian. We got the president of Wiffle Ball. We got a science professor from the University of Washington to analyze the tape. So the documentary side of it, I truly took kind of seriously. Like, I really wanted to know what happened, what's the best way to get at the truth of what happened. But then the rest of it is, you know, typically me just screwing around.
I'm trying to remember 1989 in Griffey. You know, I was a high school senior at the time, and I, you know, it wasn't like he was a nobody, right? Like, he was on that Upper Deck card, and everybody thought this guy's going to be fantastic, as highly drafted as he was. But what was it like to be around him in that time?
Well, it was even sooner than that. I saw him play at Bellingham, which is up in northern Washington toward the border, when he was in A-ball, right? So this was 2 years previous. I think he was 17 or so. And then he went to Double-A the next year. And then the next year, he goes to spring training. And as I recall, they weren't really intending to bring him up that fast. It's just that he was too good to not bring up. He did so well. They're like, you know, why are we wasting his time in the minors? He's ready to play. And he quickly proved that to be true. So, yeah, those were pretty cool years. Then his dad came along later, and they both played together. So, obviously, that's a huge standout for somebody who's from Seattle to have watched some of that in person.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of people in the Pacific Northwest here, I think, that were awfully proud of you as well, as like knowing you're a kid from Kent, Washington, and you know, you had, I think, you grew up in, was it Wenatchee? Is that right?
Well, I grew up in Kent, Washington, south of Seattle.
Yeah.
I went to junior college and played football over at Wenatchee Valley Community College. That's where you get your apples. And then from there, I went to UNLV to finish up. So, but obviously, I've always, you know, had a love and association with the whole Northwest.
Yeah,
I ruined my ankle at Oregon, so I have an Oregon tie as well. Broke my leg on the last play of a game playing Oregon my junior year of college. So, but something good came out of that, actually. I years later ended up getting this leg device that lets me do things with no pain because my ankle's kind of shot. And then we started a foundation for veterans called Run Freely.
That's awesome.
So something bad long ago turned out to be something good ultimately.
Well, and I love too that you have married together. Like, obviously you had a love of sports. You were always active and you were playing, and then you had this sports, you know, communications background at UNLV, and then, you know, you end up at ESPN, and, you know, people will remember you for almost three decades there. But within the ESPN family, you were kind of this, you were like the toy factory within the toy factory, if that makes any sense, because you were doing a lot of these things that looked fun, and, you know, the wider world of sports and all that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody else about how many things I can list that were pretty amazing that we got to do through the years, and then I still hang on to some of the ones we didn't get to do that for whatever reason got, you know, vetoed, or they took it out of the story. We got smarter through the years, though. Sometimes we would turn in our script and throw in something we didn't care about, just something really outlandish that we knew they would take out, but then they got to take it out, so they left in the stuff that we actually cared about. That's a good tip for young people fighting the system. But no, all in all, you're right. The list is long of cool stuff that we end up getting to do, traveling the world, doing Irish road bowling and the paleo in Italy, went to Thailand, Muay Thai boxing and elephant polo, and bungee jumped in New Zealand, volcano surfed in Nicaragua. Like, I'm forgetting some of the other ones we actually did. And then, of course, the whole NFL thing that went on for, you know, a decade or more, doing the make-believe football stories. And then Main Street, the little situation comedy I got to do with Aubrey Plaza and Alison Becker and John Glazer and Ben Schwartz, all those guys when they were young you know, just coming up, and now Aubrey's like, you know, biggest star in Hollywood. So, yeah, no complaints. It was fun while it lasted.
The documentary is called Wiffle Ball. You can find it at FuboSportsNetwork.com.
And FuboSportsNetwork.com.
I keep saying FUBU. That's a clothing manufacturer, right?
I think that's a dated clothing manufacturer. I'm sure they put out fine clothing wear.
FUBO Sports Network.
Probably has its own line of clothing by now. But yeah, FUBO Sports, if you are a subscriber, and there are many, you know, that's they disseminate all the different sports channels, you can just click on your on-demand, just like you do on any other premium, you know, streaming service. If you're not a subscriber, figure out a way to find it. I think through Roku and some others, but it's out there. And we're pushing people to go give it a look. It's only 30 minutes long. It won't. I think it's the perfect holiday Thanksgiving show.
Yeah.
You know, between football games or if the turkey's late or something, just gather the family, take 30 minutes, and see this ridiculous little 30-minute story about wiffle ball.
We had Ken Burns on this show, and he talked about filmmaking. I think it was when the Jackie Robinson film was coming out. Man, that is a guy who will dive deep with you. Was that cool for you to hang out with Ken Burns?
Oh, it was amazing. I'm a huge Ken Burns fan. In fact, one of my favorite ones is kind of a rare cut not everybody's heard of, but it's called America's Best Idea, and it's all about the creation of our national parks. It's just an amazing documentary. Like, really gets deep into how close we were, in a lot of cases, to not saving those lands. You know, people wanted to do development, and somebody wanted to monetize the Grand Canyon, like, you know, like things you can't even believe are true. But, you know, back way back when, Mount Rainier was one of the first, you know, Mount Rainier National Park. It's an amazing show. And I met Ken same time when he was promoting Jackie Robinson. And he showed me Vietnam, which was going to come out next. Showed me like the top 2 minutes or whatever. So I've just kind of like bugged him now and then for advice or questions. And when I started making this thing, I was like, why wouldn't I try to get the greatest American documentarian into this film? And he said yes. He steals the show. He's very, very funny. He comes in at a time. We're kind of showing the making of it as we are doing it, right? We're showing you what our problems were, and we got to solve this or solve that. And Ken comes in and gives some advice. One of the pieces of advice was to give up, but I think he was kidding. So we stayed with it. He was great, a great addition. Obviously, we got some great music. Head in the Heart sang the credit song. We borrowed a Pearl Jam song. We got a rapper named Sam Lachow. So we're happy with how it all turned out.
Kenny, you mentioned wanting to do other documentaries. Have you started that work already, or to be determined? Where are you at on all that?
Allegedly, there's supposed to be some kind of meeting. What's today, Tuesday, as we tape this? Hopefully sooner than later we can start on another one. We're just kind of seeing how this one goes first, how it's received, and hopefully there's another one chasing right behind it.
Kenny Mayne, you're the best. I appreciate you. Wiffle Ball, the documentary, that is a must-see in our household. Thank you, Kenny.
All right. FUBO Sports.
FUBO Sports.
Thanks a lot, man.
There you have it. Wiffle ball. Did you play wiffle ball? Yeah, everybody's nodding. I played wiffle ball. It was my younger brother and I, and then obviously when I went off to college, I was playing baseball, but it was always friends. It was always fun. It's a game you can play in a cul-de-sac or a backyard, and he talks about those rules. We hit the ball off the roof of the neighbor's house. It was an out, so we were trying to avoid having the neighbor mad at us. Ground ball anywhere, automatic out. You know, the pitcher didn't have to throw to first base or anything. Really, really fun to hear Kenny Mayne wiffle ball on FUBO. If you missed the big news today, the University of Oregon clinched a spot in the Big Ten championship game. That's right. The Big Ten had said over the weekend, even as Oregon beat Wisconsin on the road, that none of the tiebreakers were determined. Well, they huddled a comprehensive evaluation, so to speak, of all possible scenarios over the last 2 weeks of the season. 18 different teams, the Big Ten. This is how complicated it is when you have an 18-team conference and you're trying to work out tiebreakers with only 2 weeks left in the season. We're on Tuesday. It took the Big Ten until Tuesday to get through all of the possibilities, every possible scenario, 18 teams. Big Ten conference has determined there are no conditions in which the Ducks do not finish one or two in the conference. So Oregon officially clinches its spot in the Big Ten championship game on Tuesday, midday, after winning on Saturday. So, you know, will it be Indiana? Will it be Ohio State in a rematch? Will it be Penn State? We will find out. But you know the Ducks are there. You don't know if they're the one seed or the two seed. So you don't know if they're going to be on the home sideline or the visiting sideline, which bench you're on. But tickets are available, and Oregon's celebrating. And this game is December 7th at 5 o'clock, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And a lot of excitement, of course, from Oregon fans and beyond. But Oregon has clinched. Ducks are on a bye. They got Washington in a week at Autzen Stadium. And then it'll be on to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Does it take a little bit of the fire out of the Washington game? I mean, I wonder with the motivation there, because Oregon, until today, was thinking they have to win that game, and Washington could be a spoiler. Huskies can't be a spoiler now. I don't know. Does that impact Oregon's psyche? Dan Lanning's going to say no. If Dan Lanning's 0-3 against Washington. He's got a lot to prove. Well, our big splash is coming up. I hope you leave it here. I've got a good one for you next.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.